Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Here on a Tuesday morning, we're talking with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler. We got on the topic of pools. I think a lot of people are getting excited because those are opening here in just a few weeks. Memorial Day weekend is later this month, I think about 3.5 weeks away. And Mr. Fear, you had some information on
conclude the discussion on the pools. There is that we did announce yesterday that our season passes for our water parks went on sale, and those are $65 for adults, $45 for children for the whole swim season. And that's anybody that's 2 years and older that needs a pass, but it's good for the entire year at all the parks. So encourage folks. That's a very affordable way to enjoy the use of our facilities.
All right, very good. We have a phone call here on In Focus. Good morning. You're on with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler.
Yeah, thank you. Question concerning Anthony Middle School Rec Complex as well as Eisenhower. Will there be admission fees to use those facilities for the public?
There will not. Commission indicated that they don't plan to have an admission fee, so we are asking people just to register when they use it. So it's kind of being, I think you may have seen some stuff to kind of join and be a member, but it's just a way of acknowledging the usage, and there's no fee for that at all. There will be programs within those facilities, classes, and other special use times for reservations for specific things that there will be fees for, but just to come in and use the facility for open gym or the walkway or some of the other components, there is not an admission fee.
And that'll be some interesting data collection to see, you know, who is using it and where they're coming from. And we can analyze that and see if any adjustments need to be made.
Thank you for the call. Getting back to the tonight's meeting, there's like just one item on the general agenda here tonight, and that has to do with the master plan for the Stonehaven addition and the naming of the park and pond.
Right. This is a new subdivision out in the southwest part of the community. A lot of new infrastructure going in with that subdivision, both from a retirement facility there, as well as a residential neighborhood adjacent to this area. There's been this 3-acre pond there that's kind of been in the Beyer family for a long time, and the pond's been there for a long, long time as a private facility that's been well stocked. It's spring fed, and it's just a really neat 3-acre pond. And as part of the subdivision, the tract was partially donated. It's a 15-acre tract with open space and some wooded area. The master plan will call for a perimeter trail that would be paved. There's also some natural surface hiking trails, planned picnic shelters, a restroom, fishing docks, and some parking areas. So that's all not going to happen initially, but some of it will happen as far as the trails, and some of that component is still will be under construction. And the infrastructure there, the street is mostly in. It's closed off now because some of the adjacent infrastructure work that's ongoing with some of the private areas. So, but folks can walk down there now if you're in that neighborhood and certainly get a peek at the facility. It's going to be a great amenity, and so the park staff has worked with the neighborhood and the community in developing this plan, and the park board has reviewed it and recommended approval for the commission to adopt it, as well as the name of the park and as well. So it's Stonehaven Park and Beyer Pond, recognizing the Beyer family who owned the track and developed the area originally.
Okay. Beautiful area of town, I must say. It's and it looks like the just from looking here at the, I guess, the blueprints, or if you want to call it that, looks like an ideal spot for such a park here. What is the commission's, I guess, take on what will be discussed here.
I like the idea from the beginning. I mean, you know, otherwise what could have happened to that pond is, you know, they could have built houses up to it. It could have remained private. I think, you know, we looked at drainage. This is going to really do a better job on drainage because the pond will be there and then what's below it. It also does a good job at sort of linking everything together. You know, you look at Warner Park and the BMI addition and Schultz Park, and, you know, we can start putting that, you know, trail system together. And, you know, it does increase the amount of parkland we have. I mean, you know, I was joking with Eddie, you know, Eddie Estes, the park director of Parks and Rec, that, you know, he's got more land than J.R. Ewing, you know, at this point. And it looks that way. But that's one of the great amenities of Manhattan. Those parks are just outstanding. And, of course, it takes a lot of work and time to maintain them all. And they can't all be, you know, full of, you know, buildings and structures. And having a lot of them just be, you know, open area where you can walk is great. And I guess this will give us the second pond. We got the one at Annenberg, which has required a lot of effort, especially when it floods and fills full of asphalt from the parking lot. But this one, I don't think we'll have those kind of problems because of where it's located.
No, it won't. And it's been a pond that's been stocked for a long, long time. So it's a very, well, I would say, a mature pond as far as that aspect where Annenberg was built. A lot of the fill from the lake was used to build up the area where the fields are. So it was a lake from scratch, and where this pond's been there for decades. And again, it's spring fed and it's a deep pond. And so it's I think people will enjoy that facility, and of course need to keep in mind safety and all of those aspects. So, and then of course, if you're going to fish in the ponds, you need to have a fishing license unless you're a youth that doesn't require one yet.
Yeah. Well, and this will give that area of town a park in its region of the town, which had, I think the closest one right now would be Annenberg to that location. So,
right.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting here to see. That's a good topic. After that, there's nothing else on the general agenda, so I guess we kind of move to the consent agenda here then.
Sure. Yeah, there's several items there. We're looking. The commission has on the consent agenda consideration of an ordinance authorizing a special event with alcohol for a all school alumni reunion event. For Manhattan High School alumni. This is proposed to be on the 12th of June from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Would have Morrow Street and 12th Street closed down for traffic, and have some stages with bands outside and some proposed beer gardens. And that's what is requiring the ordinance, that the beer gardens would be it's an all-day event from 8 a.m. to 11, but the band and the alcohol would only be from noon to 10. And the outdoor entertainment areas are for when the bands are playing. So this is kind of a new event proposed for Aggieville, and looking for the commission to consider approval. Because you're putting the alcohol out on the street, we do have an area that we designated down in Blue Earth Plaza as kind of an area that can be a perimeter identified for alcohol sales at a specific time. That's a little tougher to do on a public street with current statutory requirements, so it requires an ordinance with certain rules and regs regulating where and how they provide those sales on a public street.
All right. That'll be one of the, I guess maybe the second major event down in Aggieville here this year, following that thing they had a couple weeks ago with the rodeo stuff. I guess it wasn't that exactly, but it was the livestock show.
Yeah, the livestock show. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I talked to Dennis this morning. You know, he's enthusiastic about it. I mean, that'll get things going here, get the economy moving. And, you know, I think with the ordinance and you put the right restrictions in place, there really shouldn't be a problem with that. And of course, you know, that was part of the concept design for Aggieville. You know, we did that one little section, I guess 12th Street, which has got the bollards and is designed for that. And eventually, when we get the whole project done, you'll see more of this taking place. And that is a little bit of a change, you know, is to allow, you know, alcohol consumption, you know, outside. But if it's controlled, it's a, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. You know, other cities have done it. It works. And, you know, we were just talking about pools. And, of course, you know, those sales, a third of that comes back to Parks and Rec in taxes. And a third of it goes to social services and a third goes to the general fund. So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, it's you know, not necessarily a bad thing.
Another item on there is a resolution to increase the rates we pay our pro tem judges. So this is these are attorneys that serves as judge when the judge has a conflict or couldn't be there because of scheduling issues. And so we had been paying about $50 an hour, and we haven't been keeping up with the rates that are the county district court and others pay. So we weren't getting a lot of interest from the attorneys that might qualify or be interested in that service. So recommendation came that we should raise those rates to at least what the other courts are providing for those similar positions. So that's seems to be a reasonable way to handle that. We do have an item for, we have some proposed water treatment booster station upgrades. So these booster stations are pumping stations that are located once the water is manufactured at the plant and treated at the plant, it's pumped to various storage tanks without around the community. And to do that, there's a number of booster stations that relay that water, because we have a few hills here that we have to get up and over and then up into the towers themselves. And so this is a multi-year phase program that we put in our capital improvements program to do some upgrades to those booster stations, because we want to make sure we've got adequate water supplies and being able to upgrade and overhaul those systems, put in more high efficiency type pumps, that type of thing. So this is the consultant selection for that. There were, I believe, four different firms that submitted proposals for that. And we're recommending, and the selection committee is recommending Olson Associates to enter into that contract for these improvements. Another one on there is something that we've started back in 1999. In the 90s, a new technology came about to reline our sanitary sewer lines. So as opposed to digging up sanitary sewer lines that are under streets and under sidewalks and near other utilities, which is a very costly and disruptive program. Over time, you know, a lot of our original sanitary sewer systems are clay pipe tile, and that was the standard of the day. But over time, as the ground shifts and tree roots grow, it doesn't take a lot to crack some of that tile. So what this does is, it's a PVC fiberglass lining that goes inside of it. So it's what I kind of call a sock. It looks like a big sock. And so, and you, certain locations at manholes, you go down and you unwind this big sock that's really untreated fiberglass. And then you force water into the pipe. Of course, you go in with our camera system and you clean out the pipe that you're going to line, and we review different places where there's cracks, and we want to heal that system or repair that system so that we don't have groundwater infiltration into your sanitary sewer line, because that can overwhelm it, cause backups, all kinds of things. So and then you put hot water into that line, and it forms this new seal on the inside of the pipe and actually makes it better, almost like new, from a coefficient standpoint of friction. So it's a great way to reline it. We've done it extensively since 1999. We didn't do it last year achieve some budget savings and some uncertainty. We had actually four bidders this year, which is more than we typically have. Got competitive bids and are recommending an award of a contract to SAK Construction LLC of O'Fallon, Missouri. They've done work for us previously in the amount of $537,337. And we're going to reline about 26,000 lineal feet of 8-inch lines throughout the city with this contract. So it's a good program. It causes minimal disruption in services. You do have to go cut out the actual connections from either the commercial establishment or the home, because it seals that connection when it gets put in initially. They also now have this technology to be able to do your own lateral lines, where the bulk of the problem is. So a lot of our, and it's something that we're looking at addressing in the future, because a lot of the home lines are some of the oldest and much more impacted by tree roots. So a lot of times when there is a blockage, I would say a good majority of those blockage are caused by tree roots entering our main through the private lateral. There's methodology now that they've got it down to where those lateral lines from the home can be relined too, instead of digging them up in the yard, which can be expensive as well. So we're excited about this technology
Interesting you mentioned those lateral lines. I went to the home show this year, and there was a contractor there, and that was his display, to use that technology to fix your lateral lines.
And good deal.
Some of the older homes, you know, it was very expensive to dig all that up. I know that, you know, we had to do that on Osage Street. My dad owned a house at 8th and Osage that had been there 100 years, and it had the old lines, and of course that collapsed, and the whole thing had to be dug up. But with this new technology, you're right, they can insert this sleeve, you know, clean it out, look at camera like what we do, and you can hire a private contractor to do it. And it is excellent technology. Saves time, money, disruption. I mean, great stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, Mayor, for that plug. So again, we're just very pleased that we've got this program going, and we've been able to do, it's called cured in place pipe sewer lining. So looking forward to continuing that practice. We have a development agreement with the BHS Construction and Metal Arc that are building the physician's clinic there off Tuttle Creek Boulevard. This is for them to contract to build our public sewer and water infrastructure, but they still have to meet our requirements, and it'll have to dedicate it to it after they install it. So it's a cost-saving move for them, as well as makes sense for us, and also speeds the time up for getting that infrastructure put in place. We have Emergency Solutions Grant Award. This is money that's funded through us through the state of Kansas. It's something that occurs annually. The funds primarily go to the Crisis Center and the Manhattan Emergency Shelter primarily. And it's about $283,750 to help with their operations and programs. The Food and Farm Council has asked for a letter of support for a grant they're seeking to develop a master food system plan for the community. We had a presentation on this at a city-county meeting a couple months ago, and so they're pursuing a grant to help with that, and want a commissioner to help serve on that ultimately that steering committee. And then we have a payment to the Pottawatomie District Court. This is, we used some eminent domain powers to purchase some of the easements that we needed for some of the levee construction. And I guess I would call these friendly condemnations, if you will, to determine price as well as to speed things along. In one of the cases, there's like 8 different owners of tracks. So you can imagine what it's like to try and negotiate with 8 different partners to attract. And in this case, through eminent domain, the court appointed appraisers determined the value. And then through the court process, it determines, you know, the shares that are divided amongst the different ownerships as well as the final amount. So those can be appealed, but it delivers the easements we need. I don't think there's anybody that's upset with us about needing the easement. It was just more about the price and ultimately and coming to a final agreement. That project is scheduled to bid later this year in either June or July, subject to us having all of the right of way underhand, if you will, or in hand, and in our control for them to be able to bid the project.
I need to take a quick break here real fast. We're running out of time, but sure. We will continue right after this on News Radio KMAN.